Okay, the discussion we're having today is about the Dal Banim. We wrote a number of questions on the board. I'll go through them very quickly one more time. We pointed out that the Pasuk of Eschem, the Rasha says over here, Ma Avodazos Lachem, and we say Lachem Lo Lo, we critical for him using the word Lachem. What's this work for you? You say you and not for him. He's excluding himself from the Klal, and therefore he's looked at his Kofar and Iker. He's rebelling against Klal Yisrael. But the Chacham used the same Lashon. We seem to give him a pass. So why do we do that? That's question number one. Question number two. The order. Chacham Rasha, Tam, Ein Lasha. Why is Rasha second instead of last? Seems to be of the group, the worst of the group. Just building off of that point, the Rasha also seems to be not belonging in our mixture at all. Chacham is a wise person. Tam is a more simpleton. Ein Lasha is a person who doesn't know how to ask any questions at all. We have a top, we have a lowest, we have a middle. The Russia seems to be not at all in the group. He seems to be, he's not intelligent level. It's the level of righteousness. The opposite of that should be a tzaddik. Why would it be called a Russia in this mixture? As Judas has pointed out, we knock the teeth out of the Russia. Why would we give such descriptions of, why would you say like, you know, give him a box? Why are we knocking his teeth out? What does that mean? The pasuk that we have, where we answer the Rasha and where we answer the initial, is the same pasuk. Bavur zeh asah Hashem li b'tetzim Mitzrayim. The same pasuk we use to deal with and address the Rasha and the initial. Why is that? On a bigger picture, Leo asked, why do we have four of everything? The four cups, four banishtanas, four children. Why is there constant fours? What's the theme of four in the Haggadah? And finally, just a question we asked at the end was apsachlo, it's a feminine term. Why do we turn over? Nothing wrong with it. But why are we turning over to make the father talking to his children into an ox, into a feminine? That was a question that we asked. I have a number of things copied for you on the sheets. This is over the course of a few years. I've just made a copy, so we'll see how many that the things I anticipated you would ask, we actually did ask, and we'll have answers soon. We'll start with the Haggadah that I'm going to use for the first part is Haggadah, which I started with the entire a few days ago, which we started with called Haggadah Berura. It was that white sefer, the white Haggadah, if you remember it before, in the Chafetz Chaim's commentaries in the back. It quotes many different Meforshim, Rishonim, Achronim. Here we're going to quote the Maharal. So the Arba Banim, look at the top of here, top paragraph, the Arba Banim, I wrote as an intro, I wrote it. Habanim Nechlu Davkul Arba Chalakim. The children are broken down to four different parts. You have a child who's who spending time with him gives a level of additional chachma because he's constantly trying to understand more and ask more questions. And that's called a chacham. He's called a chacham because he acquires wisdom by being inquisitive and asking more questions. Hashein she'ein bo tosefes ve'ein bo migaras, the second child who doesn't help add but doesn't detract either, v'zeh chacham she'einu mischakein v'yediyah yisera, he's someone who doesn't become smarter, rak l'shol al dvarim kasher yir'es shinui, he only notices differences. Hey, what's up with that thing, Dad? He's not intuitive to kind of anticipate questions. He points out problems that come his way, meaning he won't just stop and ask, but he'll ask when something seems off. That's the Tom. To answer your question, Maxwell, that's the Tom. The Tom is someone who's more innocent. He's not so inquisitive. If you say to him, you know, do this for me, he's like, sure. He's not like, why would I do that for you? But when you say, do this for me, that's what he's, then you say to him, don't do this for me. It's like, one second, you just told me to do it for you. Which one is it? He when he sees a glaring contradiction, and he'll point that out, why'd you tell me this and then tell me that afterwards? But if he says to him, do this for me, he's not going to say, well, what do you mean by that? Why would you want me to do that? He's not going to stam ad chachma. So tam is the next level. He doesn't add. He doesn't take away. He more notices things and points them out when they are jarringly, disproportionate. And that's what the tzmimus hayidida. That's the more innocent level of knowledge. Shkomisha yira shinui, whoever sees something that seems off, roi lo lishol, he should ask. If he doesn't ask the question, he seems to be really clueless. He's not asking, what's up with that? I mean, he seems to be a little bit clueless. Hashlishi, who shapoches min hayedia. It's even he's even lacking more as far as intelligence goes or interest in knowledge. Shafal gav shu roya shinoi ino shola. Even though he sees something different, he doesn't bother asking about it. That person is completely lacking. He's someone who doesn't even know how to ask. He's dafka, someone who's not an average level of intelligence. He's below average. When he sees things that seem to be off and contradictory, he lets it go. He's not looking to raise those issues. So that's the levels of people who are seeking out knowledge and wisdom. We have the wise one who will be inquisitive, intuitive about everything. The Tom who will, something that seems to be inappropriate, he'll point that out. And the initial, but even when that happens, he doesn't notice it either. We're missing one. Mami shefech achacham. There's one who's opposite of the chacham. K'mosha chacham mischachem b'yidia yiseira for Tosefes. Just like the chacham is increasing knowledge, he always is analyzing, wants to know more, even without a glaring contradiction. Yesh k'negdo shuchachem la'ra. It's all different minus. There's an opposite version of that one, who's equally intelligent and inquisitive, but does so not to increase his wisdom, but to actually cause problems. That's called a Rasha. He's a Rasha b'chachma. And again, over here, he answers one question over here. It's the question that Leah was asking before him. That is also a level of wisdom. It's a wisdom thing. It's not stama, a behavioral thing. It's a wisdom thing. The Rasha is asking questions like the Chacham asks, so analyze things more. He asks to try to challenge you more. But it's not a behavior. And again, the Maharal is saying this because he's worried, why does the Rasha belong in this category? So the Maharal answers and says, no, in reality, he's not a Rasha in his behavior. Rather, I'll put a check over here. Rather, he's a Rasha regarding his intelligence. He's looking to ask questions like the Chacham asks to better understand things. Maral explains that Russia asks to better challenge you on things, not to try to have a good answer and share greater wisdom, but to challenge you using wisdom. It's not, again, it's not a mitzvah thing, a Russia, but it's an intelligence thing. That's the way that the Maral explains it. Now, as to, just back in the Maral for a second, what is the order of these four? Look at the next line we have, the next paragraph, a very short two-line paragraph we have. The Maral explains now, why is this four that we have? Why is the order that it's in? So says the Maral, Makim Achachem, Bechach Hefech Shalosh Shura Rasha, Ki Avachim Yishlem Yidia Achas, Ki Minatov Nikar Oso Shura Shravcho, Bechach Zichrim Keseder. The order of intelligence is really the Chachem, the Tam, and Elisho, but the Rasha really is the other side of the Chachem. So it makes sense to have the Chachem, the Rasha, which is category number one of intelligence, and then afterwards, you have the Tam, the Elisho, which is in the order that follows the Chacham and the Rasha. So the order, according to Maharal, is that we have the wisest ones first, which is the Chacham at his parallel, the Rasha. Then afterwards, moving down in wisdom levels, which is the Tam, the Elisho. So there is no middle, there is no like two middle, there's really two tops. And then you have middle and low. So it really answers also the question, number three as well, which we didn't mention in our rundown of the questions. Mention that question as well. Finally, the Gra has a different shot as to what exactly the order is. He's a very interesting shot, very creative. We'll see very soon that others say the same idea as well. Notably, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the back of the sheet. I'll get to you in 1 minute from now. Look over here again at the bottom source in the sheet I gave you. That says Hagra at the end. First side, the Gra. Chacham is a Talmud Chacham. He has a big change in course. The Chacham is the high, and the opposite of the Chacham is Ein Elishol, the one who can't even ask. Hatam is not a knowledge-based thing. It's actually a religious level. Hatam, who hold it with Tmimus, the Hoku are Russia. And he goes to Pasuk to prove it over here. Why is it in this order then? Chacham, it should have been Chacham in Elishol, and then Tam in Russia. But it says Russia after Chacham because we don't want the Russia to be how we end. We don't want the taste in our mouth to be the Russia at the end. We'd be disappointed in that being the taste. So it's a very interesting shot again. Well, he answers both the order, the Gra, as well as the level of intelligence. It's not an intelligence based thing. According to the Gra, you have two separate categories we're addressing. Knowledge and righteousness. The knowledge, we have two extremes. Chacham, and this we get back to also Maxwell's point, there is no middle for either one of these. You have extremes. The knowledge is a chacham versus einu de'lishol. And then you have behaviorally the tam versus the rasha. Rasha is it's not intelligence, like the Maharal want to say, says the Gra. It's behavioral. And therefore, the tam is the tzaddik. We say Yaakov was an ish tam. Yoshev o'alim, he was an innocent person. Innocent in that he was so committed, so tamim, so pure, that's a behavioral issue. So according to the Gra, it's actually not intelligence-based only. You have the intelligence extremes, which is what the Chacham is. And the initial is the opposite of that. And in the middle, we have the behavioral extremes, which is the Tam, and the Rasha. Now, why we have in that order we have it in? Does it not make more sense than to have the Chacham, initial Tam, and Rasha? So the Gra explains, we don't want to end off on the Rasha. And we have before, the way you end off is something very important. We don't want to end off on the Rasha. In this show, someone who's not so intelligent yet, maybe we'll get there at some point in time. We do not want it to become that the last taste we have in our mouth is the Rasha. So we change the word around to the Rasha in the middle, the Rasha, and then Tam, that in that order, to put those two together and put the Rasha after the Chacham, and then have the Tam and the Lishol following it up. Now again, he doesn't explain why all four in that order, but he explains why the Rasha is not last. Why couldn't it have been the Tam, Rasha, Chacham, and Lishol? I'm not sure why it couldn't have been that. The Gra doesn't really address that, at least not in the piece that I have over here. But it's not anymore, is it a discussion about intelligence? That's only part of it. And there's no middle child over here. It's extremes about intelligence and extremes about behavior. That's not only the Gra step, but if you look back on the page, I'll turn it over for a second if you can. We have also this concept when it comes to the looking at the Tam, the two types of Tams. And we'll see inside right now, the top source on the other side of the sheet is from a Agada, which I did not bring inside, but it's a fantastic Agada. And they have one in English. It's called Arzeh Halvanon. In English, it's called Sears of Lebanon. And it happens to be a very, an excellent Agada, where it quotes a lot of the Rosh Yeshivas of the prior generation. Moshe Feinstein, the Stifler, Yachamenetsky, etc. We actually seen something that we saw earlier on in one of those pieces. I forget which one it was, but we saw something, I forget which one it was. What we see earlier with this Haggadah. I don't remember. Okay. Says the Sefer Zelavanon, Kan Mashma Sheheim Shatam in Amuv Karbashim Banim. In our order, it seems like the Tam is not the best of the children. This is the Rav Moshe Feinstein speaking. Why? Shari Minau Achra Ben Russia. Because we listed it after the Russia. And therefore, it sounds like it's a descending order. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, etc. Ulfnei, eventually, the Lishol. Ubi Yaakov Omer, by Yaakov it says, we find the phrase Tam, he was an Ish Tam. So Rav Moshe Feinstein here is going to suggest to us that this Tam that we have, unlike the Gra, is not the Tam of the most righteous, like the Tzad Tam. Different type of Tam. There's a difference between a Tam and an Ish Tam. What does that mean? Rav Moshe Feinstein says over here, look inside. Yesh tam v'yesh tam. Hatam she'enu ideya u'kebaheva nidmeh tam ze'im b'chashivus. If you have a tam who's a simpleton, he's not a pure person, but he's simple, he doesn't care. That's a tam where he belongs as number three category of these sons. He's even below Russia. But Yaakov was an ish tam yosheva olim. He was a chacham, a pikeach, etc. So we finally hear this idea that when you see the word Tam, it doesn't always mean a good thing. Here, for example, again to the Vilna Gaon, Rav Yaakov says the Tam here is a bad thing because it's a descending order. Chacham, Rasha, then Tam, then Einu De'lishol. It's in that order of greatness. Now, it's not an Ish Tam. It's a Tam like a simpleton, not a pure person, says Moshe Feinstein. Why would a Tam be below Rasha? Why would a Tam be below Rasha? Anybody? If you were saying that a Tam is a simpleton, he doesn't ask really.
Russia has more knowledge.
Okay, so if you base the knowledge of Russia more knowledge, that's true. I'd even say Russia has more potential, I even say to you. Why? At least the Russia has passion. He feels strongly about something. You know what a Tam is? I don't care. Yeah, whatever, that's fine. You're fine. I don't care. To be someone who's apathetic, live in a world today, whatever you want to do. If you would be critical of somebody else, then you'd be like, what's your business? Why is that your business? You know, let him do what he wants to do. Right? We always say, good for him. Right? That's the approach of someone who's apathetic. Okay, good for him. Let him do what he wants to do. As someone who cares about things, about people, it would never be good for him. If it's not good, it's not good for him either. If it's good, then it's good for everybody. So over here, the reason why the Moshe Maitre brings down and says that the Tam is in the middle category, he's lower than a Rasha. The reason why I want to suggest to you is because at least a Rasha has passion. There was a, we find this, it's fitting to discuss this topic because when Yaakov and Esav were born, before they were born, they were pregnant, when Rivka was pregnant with them, so she would walk by, I think I mentioned to you guys in the Shmita gave a number of months ago maybe, she would walk by the base of Odeh Zarah and the babies were, you know, one baby would seem to have gotten one, oh, she knows one, but baby wanted to get out. She walked by the base of Knesset, or base of Knesset of Eber, which by the way was in Tzfas, where we just were for Shabbos. It's a cave. So I actually went to the mikvah, right next to the cave, right before Shabbos. The cave is the functioning... Is that? No, it's actually very warm. Baruch Hashem. It's indoors. But there's a the outdoor area, there's like a cave, an underground cave, where there's little Shabbos groups that these people run. Not a sound cave. Different place. I don't know I'm not sure how they know it's where, that's what this this cave is, but that's from the Sora, this cave is from that. It's very cool, actually. It's very cool. Next time we go, it's in a bed, I'll show you guys where it is. Even if you come back to visit this time, I'll show you where it is. If you take me with you, if you let me go with you. When Rivka had this baby in her body, she thought it was one baby jumping here and jumping there. She said, Lama Zedoki, why do I need this? I don't need a baby that's like, whatever, this, that, it's all good. When she found out, no, it's two babies. They're going to hate each other. They're going to have passion for whatever they believe in very strongly. She's like, now we're talking. Why would she be okay with that in the end? Because passion is something you can direct and redirect. But apathy, there are people in yeshiva, in every yeshiva, who will be like, whatever, yeah, fine, who cares, yes, no. They could spend their entire day doing nothing and feel fine about it. They could spend their entire day watching on their phone something, or just sleeping, or just doing nothing. It's one thing if you have like you're exercise driven, you have something you want to do, you want to get knowledge, you want to read books. Okay, so that's not what the year's for, but at least I appreciate your search, your enthusiastic search for something. When someone is apathetic towards everything, they're lower than a Russia. At least a Russia you can have a conversation with. You can fight something with. Maybe if he's open-minded enough at some point in time, he might actually adopt some of your positions if you are convincing enough. But a person who's a Tom, there's nothing to talk to. No one to talk to at all. And then Moshe finds and says, Yaakov being again against the Maharal, Yaakov was an Ish Tom. But if you're Stam a Tom, it's not. What's the point? What's the point of it all? There's no reason for it at all. Okay. Moving along. Maybe we can answer one or two more things, and then we'll stop and head to the base fetish for some one-on-one schmoozing time. The end of the Elishal. Let's look at the one on the side before I get to Judah's favorite shot. Look at the one on the side over here. End of the Elishal. I copied on the side, so it's a little bit in the wrong direction. It's from the Sefer, the Haggadah, which I have for you in front of you right now to show you. Show off to you.
Wow.
Haggadah Yoni Alacha. It's a great Haggadah. Rav Yitzchak Mirsky wrote it. It's in Hebrew. They have an English version as well, but I recommend it highly in Hebrew. It's doable. It's doable if you get a little bit of help. Dictionary, maybe. They have one in French as well, if you want.
French?
They don't really have one in French. I'll just make a comment. Or maybe they do. Okay. In the Haggadah, he quotes called Baruch Shamar. The Haggadah, which is named Baruch Shamar. Haggadah Baruch Shamar says the following.
My name is Baruch.
Shloben Zed Tzarech Av Lazbir Kol Inin Etziyat Mitzrayim Mitzkilasev Ad Sofo. That this child requires, again, he doesn't even know how to ask questions. He's completely out. He doesn't know where to start even. He needs you to explain from the beginning to the end the whole story. V'umrameiz v'lashon at sachlo. That's what at means. At, I know, me aleph, at tough. At is a letter aleph, and the second letter is letter tough. You just explain from the beginning to the end for this child. That's what at psachlo means, from aleph at tough.
What is
He's a kofer.
At means, we have a question here, why does it say at psycho? So, yeah. At means you, but it's feminine. At you, open for him. So the question we have is, why is it feminine? So here he's saying the reason why is because you're supposed to, he doesn't know anything at all. You need to educate him from the beginning till the end. Aleph to tough. At is letter Aleph and letter tough. You have to go from the beginning to the end to educate him. No, so that, because it's really trying to tell you, it's simon, we'll see him in by a feminine, but it's telling you that Aleph is tough, and it's trying to tell you the whole entire thing for the Ben who's inwardly
lishal. It's not really feminine.
Doesn't mean to be, according to this first shot, exactly, according to the first shot. B'tchila diber imo ha'av b'shvil archiko b'divra yakfira shal rasha v'yatam diber imo b'yichud. The od nira lamar b'zeh. We can say further. Again, same Haggadah. Shechazra Magi, the Magi is the one who's with the Baal Haggadah. V'darish pasuk zeh l'benjen l'lishol lamar ap sachlo v'sha'ad kan diber imo ha'av. Up until now, the dad's been talking to him. Maybe he's telling you that the mother also has a role in the education of the children, a big role. The starting role of education is with the mother usually. The father, maybe when he's already learned it and taken the shul, learned with him a charusa. But the mom teaches him the basics. You're in the house with the mom at a young age. The mom's taking care. The mom's in Israel, usually the person who's addressing the Israel is usually the mother. Because it's an early stage of education. He didn't even ask questions. Who's the one doing it? Usually the mom.
That's why it says ad.
And that's, according to this job here, why it says ad. Why it's in feminine form.
It's ad talking to the Shema.
Yeah, the mom is supposed to be talking to him now. Why? The ad talking to him. Ad psachlo. One more time, Ira. That you have the ad to tell you one of two things. You tell the father, he doesn't know how to ask any questions. You should address everything from Aleph to Tav. So it really doesn't mean to be feminine. It means to symbolize Aleph to Tav.
Who's saying Aleph Sachlo?
The Baal HaGadah said, look over here in the Chacham, see what it says there?
Yeah.
It says you, it's Baal HaGadah talking to you, the parents. You open for him. You start for him. Who's the you? Why is it saying Aleph Tav? So that Aleph Tav, hey, Atah. Because it's telling you, you have to go from beginning to the end. He doesn't know how to do anything. Shot one. Shot number two, that there's a motherly role in educating children. The child's first memories of education are from his mom. He's in the home at a young age. He watches his mom do things. Mom's around the house more than dad usually is. Back in the day, at least, it was that way. So now, again, ap sachlo means the mother oftentimes is the one getting involved in the education of the... That's how the Israel becomes starting to learn things from the mom. Soloveitchik has a lot of... he's an unbelievable speech he gave about his mom. He gave a hesped to his mom, about his mom, and he gave an unbelievable speech where he described the memories, the Torah Zimecha, what he remembers about his mom in the house. And it's a lot of description, a very, very rich description of him growing up in the house and watching his mom do things in the house. It wasn't formal education textual. It was just watching and appreciating and asking. That's their level. The first stage of education comes from the mom very often. Ap sachlo. And that's, by the way, when you guys are ready to start dating, you want to find a woman, to find a wife, who's going to be a great at psachlo, a great woman who's going to educate your children that you want them educated as well. And the first steps of education of the child are from the mom. What he sees in the home, you know, all the things that he watches as he keeps the home. They spend more time together in the beginning of the years when he's first born, usually. Even though now you can also have paternity leave as well. Back then, it was really the mom who would stay home with the child. And you learn a lot of things. And therefore, at psachlo is how the individual gets its process, is career and being educated is usually from the mother. That's why it's in feminine terms.
Two good answers.
Two good answers. And we have to one last point over here. This inside, we'll try to give other answers ourselves. I'll just maybe answer one or two of them right now without looking in the next part. Why I say pasuk rosh being lishol? Why I say pasuk? Because we put them as being the two extreme bottoms. We put them as being the weakest of their righteousness. That was the Russia, the weakest of the intelligence in Lishol. Maybe the Baal HaGadah was trying to explain to us at that point that both of them, you're trying to, I don't want to say crack down on, but you're trying to point out that this wouldn't have happened if to you. It wouldn't have happened if you were there. For both those people, you don't care enough to ask questions, to learn. It's brought down in the we know from the Medrash, from Rashi as well, that 80% of Klal Yisrael did not make it out of Mitzrayim. 80% did not. And it could have been because you're a big Russian, but you can ask the question, how does the viewer make it out? It's a good question. I think it was the question in the past, we gave about that one time. And also, if you don't care at all to be involved in the pursuit of godliness, and you're just, you know, you don't even have to ask the question, you don't care to ask questions at all, and like the Russia, you know, someone that maybe you wouldn't have made it out yourself. What's the question, Ira?
She said they both have the same concept.
Yeah.
This is the two extreme bottoms. You mentioned two different categories.
Right. We have category. We have bottom category as far as your behavioral righteousness. In behavior, this is a golden pshat. This part of it, I'm just kind of attaching it to his pshat. You have two. The two levels are the tam. Again, not what Moshe Feinstein says, but the tam is a woman who's very pure, versus the rasha. So the rasha is the bottom of the behavioral categories. Yeah. And then you have the chacham and the intellectual, the bottom of the interest in learning categories. You don't care even. You don't even know how to ask questions. It doesn't bother you at all. So those are the two extreme low points that someone has. Yes, that's someone who just hasn't yet started to ask. So you don't even care. You don't even know how to ask. It doesn't bother you at all. That's how we're explaining it. That's the way the Golden Gaon explains it, at least. So that's why they have the same puzzle to kind of look in the same category. Both of them are not ways that we should be behaving.
You say it's not weakness of the intelligence.
Right, so that, okay, that's the grub. The grub is what I said. The Maharal says what you said, which is intelligence based. The Maharal says it's all intelligent based. The grub says it's based upon character. The question on the grub is why is it in that order?
Yeah.
That's a question which he addressed as well, but it's not, it still leaves a little bit to understand within that that shot the grub gives. Just looking at the board before we get to the final part we have in the sheet view here. Another shot I'll tell you of why the Rosh says Eschem. And we call it out, and the Chacham also says, I think, Lachem, right? What is it? Eschem? What's the also Eschem. Sorry, the Rosh says Lachem, and the Chacham says Eschem, but they're both you. Rosh says Lachem. Let's change that for a second. And the Chacham says Eschem, but the point is that both of them are saying you as opposed to me. And we call the Rosh out for it, but we do not call the Chacham out. Why not? So one shot could be, is that he says, Hashem Elokeinu Eschem, right? Our God to you. So once he said Elokeinu, you see where I am right now? The Chacham. The Chacham, why don't we call the Chacham out for saying Eschem? We call the Rosh for saying Lachem. Lachem lo lo, we say. You're putting yourself out of this picture, so you wouldn't have made it out. But the Chacham did something very similar. He also said the word Eschem, which means you. So why are we giving him a pass? Because he says Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. Elokeinu was already including himself in that mix, and maybe that's why we don't call him out for what the way he says it over.
It's just like he's speaking to God, kind of.
Exactly. He's still including himself among those who serve God. Our God. Why not Hashem, our God, take you out? Our God, he said. He kept himself in the tzibur. The Rosh took himself out of the tzibur. And that's the reason why. Lachem. They both mean you. Just different like text depending on the version that's written in. It's like, you know, to you or with you, but it's you.
So why
does
the Chacham
write
you?
Why did the Chacham not get called out for writing you is the question we had. The Rosh gets called out for writing you. The Chacham gets a pass. The Baal God doesn't say anything to him for saying you. And the reason why is because he says Hashem Elokeinu, our God, took you out. So when he says our God, he's including himself in the Tzibur. It's just
our God took you out.
Yeah, of Mitzrayim.
She said took me.
But he wasn't there really. Meaning when they asked you, people were living then, how come Hashem took you out? So he's saying, oh, he didn't take you out? No, but Hashem, our God, took you out. So he's putting himself in the klal, as opposed to the Russia who did not put himself in the klal. That's why maybe we call out the Russia and not the Chacham. The Chacham does include himself in the klal. The last answer I'll give you is Judah's favorite pshat. It's also in the Agoda of the Yoreh Halacha. He quotes this down as well.
Wait, so why does it say Russia?
Say again? Yeah, so because he really is putting himself out of the cloud. The Rosh really says you. He said it's you, not me. So, but the Chacham also said you. No, but he said also me because he said Elokeinu. So he included himself in the group at one case, and he said but you because it happened to be that historically the Rosh that the Chacham was not there when it happened. So that's why he's asking, quote unquote, you. Okay, finally, last shot for the day, and then we'll see if we have anything left on the board to discuss. Va'af atal hakeshinav. You two should knock his teeth out. Now, Judah pointed out, what's the point of the teeth? Yeah.
No, Oscar.
Okay. V'lo amar ba'al agad, ha'ka es at eshinav, z'yesh l'chancho b'derech tovim, ha'ka at, okay, v'lo amar ba'al agad, ha'ka, look at my agad, I have a hard time reading that for some reason. Here. It doesn't say again. V'af atal hakeh shinav. Hakeh instead of hikah. Why didn't it say hikah shinav? Hikah means to hit. Hakeh means to like weaken or soften. Hakeh is to soften. Why does it say soften his teeth? Should it say break his teeth? Hit his teeth? V'sheyesh l'chanko b'derech tovim. You should be soft and gentle. You should educate him in a nice way. You want him to come back eventually and turn into a tzaddik. And therefore, speak to him gently. And those who look at the significant values, of numerical values of gematrias, they point out some fascinating thing. The word Russia is gematria is 570. The word shinav, the way it's written in Haggadah, is 366. If I take the word shinav, that value, out of the word Russia, you end with tzaddik. Spells out tzaddik. So it's not as Tom saying knock his teeth out. It's saying loosen him up, soften him up. Where you take a rush, a strong Russia, and by taking away his shinav, his teeth, he's left as a tzaddik right now in numerical value. Fascinating depth of an area we don't usually look at so much inside of or understand so much of, but this is the idea brought down the Balagada. So we now understand Dafka, what it means, hakeh, with a kuf hey hey, instead of hika, with a chav hey. We understand a little bit more now why maybe we're supposed to be doing it in a very soft, gentle way, and the goal is not to beat him up and kick him out and hurt him, but rather to soften him up so he's able to be part of us afterwards. We're left only with one, we asked already 8 questions, and we're left only with one question we have not really addressed yet. Why are there 4 everythings? And the truth is, the question is not a question looked over here, but a question that's throughout the entire Haggadah. And there are many people who discuss those different topics. I look forward to hearing your pshat and your research that you do as to what numbers you can figure out, the idea you can figure out why the number 4 is coming up so often in our Haggadah. Stop over here.